If you were here last week, you know we kicked off our Christmas series titled Advent, Anticipation of the King. It's a series that will be walking us through this season of Advent. I shared with you last week that word, Advent, it actually means coming or arrival. And I shared that the focus of Advent is the celebration of the birth of Jesus and His first coming, His first arrival here on earth. But I also pointed out that it's the anticipation of the return of Jesus, His second coming, when He will return in all His glory as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so in both the celebration of His coming and the anticipation of His coming once again, each week we light one of the Advent candles. Now there are five different candles that are here behind me. There is the candle of hope, which we lit last week. There's the candle of peace, the candle of joy, the candle of love, and then the final candle, which is known as the Christ candle. And that's because He is the center of it all. That's why He's right in the center. He is the one who brings us these things. He's the one that brings us hope. He's the one that brings us peace. He's the one that brings us joy. And He is love. And so last week, again, we lit the candle of hope, which, again, we were supposed to light here before I started, and I didn't, again, my perfection. And so we lit the candle of hope, and today we're lighting the candle of peace, the second candle in the Advent season. And to talk about peace this morning, we're going to take a look at the Christmas story that you find in Luke chapter 2. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me this morning. Now you actually can find the Christmas story in both Luke and Matthew. You know, if you haven't noticed, if you've walked through the Gospels, there are many stories that overlap throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the most common Christmas story that you hear read at Christmas time is the one found here in Luke, and that's what we're going to read this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Luke 2, verses 1 through 14. It says this: "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests.'" And we'll end there. It finishes here as we finish this section in verse 14. It finishes saying, "On earth, peace. Peace to men." Now, that word peace, The thought of peace, it's such a wonderful thought, isn't it? This idea of experiencing peace on earth. But the question we have to ask ourselves, is peace really possible? Especially when you think about this idea of peace on earth. Because when we look at our world, when we look at the things going on around us, it's hard to imagine what the angels were talking about. What did they mean when they said peace on earth? Because we haven't had a lot of peace on this earth. There's actually an article from the New York Times that was printed back in 2003. And this article, it talks about peace throughout our world. It said that over the last 3,400 years, there have been only 268 years where there weren't wars going on somewhere throughout the world. 268 out of 3,400. Now, their definition of war was conflicts that claimed more than 1,000 lives. Okay? So the reality is, it's probably been even less than 268 years, right? Because there's a lot of little conflicts and wars that have taken less than 1,000 lives, but there's still been wars and conflicts. And so it's probably been a lot more or less over the 3,400 years. Bottom line, we live in a fallen, broken world. Wars have raged throughout this world long before Jesus came and long after he ascended into the heavens. Wars have been taking place. And so what were the angels saying when they claimed peace on earth? Is peace possible with all the pain and the conflict that is going on in the world around us? I believe that it is. But here's the thing, I'm not talking about world peace, you know, where we all come together and hold hands and sing, "We are the world, we are the children," you know. I'm not talking about where we all put our tie-dye shirts on, right, Kevin, and start walking around going, "Peace, man, peace." I'm not talking about that. As I said, we live in a fallen world. The Bible tells us that every day there is a war, a battle that is raging all around us. Ephesians 6 tells us it is not a battle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers of this dark world. And so I don't believe the reality of world peace in that sense will happen until Jesus returns, okay? When he comes back and he wipes out darkness once and for all. But as we talked about last week, Jesus is the light. And as he entered the world, he did bring light into this dark place that we live. And because of that, I believe it's possible for us to experience peace in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of a fallen and broken world. But the problem, I think, is that we look for peace in the wrong places. I want to actually start this morning by just sharing with you a few places that I can tell you will not find peace. Places that a lot of us look to for peace, that our world looks to for peace, but they come up short. The first is this: you will not find peace in our governments. We won't find peace in our governments. When we look at the time of Jesus' arrival here on this earth, it's interesting to me how much our world today is similar to how it was back in his times. First of all, it was a time when many of them, they trusted in the government for everything. It was a time when some people, especially those in positions of power, really thought that Rome was the answer to all the world's problems. There were people who thought that the Roman Empire would finally bring peace and stability into the world. They thought that its strong government and that its powerful army would bring an end to all wars and bring peace on earth. They thought their government would bring this peace for all of them. And I think many people have this same thought about America, right? You know, the United States, we're this powerful force. Yay, look at America and what they're going to do. They're going to bring peace to the world. But if you look around, we're not experiencing peace. Look around at all the things that are happening even today in our nation, in America, and the world around us. Neither the Roman government or the U.S. government, or any government for that matter, has brought us peace. War has continued to rage and will continue to rage. Daily we hear of shootings and violence throughout our nation. Our world is anything but peaceful. And the fact is we won't find peace in and through our government. Secondly, we won't find peace in our wealth or in our money. You know, again, we find a similarity to the time of Jesus and the time of today, because much like today, the Roman Empire, they were all about accumulating wealth. They were all about their stuff, right? The bigger, the better. They built fine houses and they constructed huge palaces back then. Who you were when it came to status and greatness was measured by how much money you had. It was measured by your wealth. Sounds a lot like today, does it not? Right? The world around us today. People think that the more wealth, the more money they have, the happier they will be, the more peace that they'll experience. But surprisingly, often sooner than later, these people realize that more wealth or more money doesn't bring them more peace. Oftentimes, it brings them more challenges and more problems along the way. And so the question is, if we don't find peace through our governments or through wealth and money or any other ways that we fail to experience peace, where do we find it? Where do we find this peace? How in the midst of this fallen and broken world are we supposed to experience this peace that the angels spoke of here in Luke 2? Well, I think it's at the end of verse 14 that we actually get the answer. It says, "And on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." That the peace will be given to the ones of whom His favor rests. So who are the ones that His favor rests upon? Who are the ones that will experience this peace in this fallen, broken world? I believe that it's God's people. It's those who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. You see, true peace can only be found inside the will of God. Outside the will of God, no peace. Inside the will of God, we can experience His peace. True peace is a gift from God that we experience through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, through Christ in us, who lives in us, who makes us the hope of glory. As we walk in His will, it's then that we begin to experience His peace. Jesus gave us this gift of peace when He left to go and ascend and to sit at the right hand of the Father. Listen to what He says to His disciples in John 14, verses 25 through 27. "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Verse 27, here's the key. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. In verse 27, he says, I'm giving you peace, but not the kind of peace that the world tries to give you. Now, what is he saying here? What does he mean by that? What kind of peace is it that the world gives? You see, the world tries hard to bring peace into our lives. There are those around us that try to bring peace. Our governments try to bring peace. This and that, they try to bring peace. And the reality is there are ways that the world can bring us some peace at times. You know, we can find peace in knowing that we have a good security system, right? That will maybe keep us safe, keep our home safe. Maybe how about health insurance? When we got good health insurance, it gives us a little bit of peace knowing that, hey, if something happens, we'll be taken care of. We won't have to pay for it ourselves. Maybe retirement plans, right? Hey, you know, it's going to take care of me. I've got these retirement plans that are going to take care of me. You know, there are things like a good police department, right? When you live in a community with a good police department, maybe you have a little bit more peace at times just knowing that, hey, we have a good police department that will help take care of us and protect us. Or, you know, you live in a country with a great military, right? Well, the military will protect us, right? These are all great things that can give us peace of mind at times in our lives. And there are numerous things in this world that may help us feel some peace at times as we walk through this world. But Jesus said, I'm not giving you the kind of peace the world gives you. And what I think he's saying here is this. He's not giving us the kind of peace that's here today, but gone tomorrow. He's not giving us the kind of peace that's based upon circumstances. Where we only experience it when everything is going right. That's circumstantial peace, right? That's the kind of peace the world offers. But God's peace is the kind of peace that doesn't go away when our government fails. His peace doesn't go away when the stock market crashes and our retirement fund dries up. His peace doesn't go away when the circumstances of life are crumbling all around us, because His peace is not based on our circumstances. His peace can be experienced regardless of the circumstances. It's the kind of peace that the world in and of itself cannot produce. And the thing is the world can't even grasp, can't even understand this peace. It's the kind of peace that passes all understanding. Why? Because it's the peace of God. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Not the world's peace, but God's peace is what I pour out into you. It's that peace that passes all understanding. That's Philippians 4:7. If you've ever heard that, the peace that passes all understanding, a peace that the world cannot comprehend. You see, it's that kind of peace that allowed Jesus to sleep on the boat when the winds and the wave crashed around him and everyone else on the boat was running around afraid and scared, right? Get up, Jesus, why are you sleeping? We're going to die. It's that kind of peace that can sleep through those storms without freaking out, because he knows that he's God and he's in control. It's the kind of peace that allowed Jesus, as he hung on a cross, after all that he went through, after all the way everybody treated him, being beaten, stabbed, all these things, that he could be on that cross and utter those words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's the kind of peace that allowed Stephen. Remember, we went through Acts the last year and a half. And I know it was a little while ago when we were in Stephen, but it's the peace that allowed Stephen to boldly preach the gospel and then to look up to the Lord in the midst of being killed for his faith, in the midst of them throwing stones at him and killing him, where he looked to the Lord and gave glory to God in the midst of what he was going through. It's the kind of peace that allowed Peter to sleep like a baby in prison the night before he was supposed to be killed. How many of you, if you knew your head was going to be taken the next day, how many of you would just be like, oh, no big deal, sleeping? I mean, how many of you, we'd be up, we'd be freaking out, right? Oh my gosh, tomorrow I'm going to die. What is that going to be like? What's it going to, is it going to feel, am I going to feel the blade? Am I going to, you know, all these thoughts. Those are the thoughts that would go through my mind, right? But he had this peace to just fall asleep, where then the angels came and helped him. It's that kind of peace. And God is the only one that can give us that kind of peace. And it's that kind of peace that He wants us to experience. The kind of peace that passes all understanding. And because of Christmas, because of the story of what Jesus did for us, we all have the opportunity to experience peace here on this earth. We have the ability to experience peace in the midst of difficulties, a peace that passes all understanding. And it's given to those on whom His favor rests. All we have to do is receive the gift that He's given us, the gift of His Son, the gift of this miracle that happened on Christmas. We talked about that last week. I want to wrap things up this morning with a story. I think I've shared this before, but it says, years ago there was a very wealthy man who with his devoted young son shared a passion for collecting art. Together they traveled around the world, adding only the finest art treasures to their collection. The widowed elder man looked on with satisfaction as his only child became an experienced art collector. The son's trained eye and sharp business mind caused his father to beam with pride as they dealt with art collectors all over the world. As winter approached, though, war engulfed the nation, and the young man left to serve his country. After only a few short weeks, his father received a telegram. His beloved son was missing in action. Within days, his fears were confirmed. The young man had died while rushing a fellow soldier to a medic. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming Christmas holidays with anguish and sadness. The joy of the season would visit his house no longer. But on Christmas morning, a knock on the door awakened the depressed old man. As he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand. He introduced himself by saying, "Sir, I was a friend of your son. I was the one he was rescuing when he died. May I come in for a moment? I have something I'd like to show you." As the two began to talk, the soldier told of how the man's son had told everyone of his love for fine art. "I am an artist," said the soldier, "and I want to give you this." As the old man unwrapped the package, the paper gave way to reveal a portrait of the man's son. Though the world would never consider it the work of a genius or fine art, the painting featured the young man's face in striking detail. Overcome with emotion, the man thanked the soldier, promising to hang the picture above the fireplace, which he did, pushing aside thousands of dollars of other fine art. During the days and weeks that followed, the man realized that even though his son was no longer with him, the boy's life would live on because of those he had touched. The painting of his son soon became his most prized possession. He told his neighbors it was the greatest gift that he had ever received. The following spring, the old man became ill and soon passed away. The art world was now beaming with anticipation. With the collector's passing and his only son gone, his paintings would now be sold at an auction. The day soon arrived, and art collectors from all over the world gathered to bid on some of the world's most spectacular paintings. Dreams would be fulfilled this day. Greatness would be achieved, as many would now claim to have the greatest collection. The auction began with a painting that was not on the museum's list. It was the painting of the man's son. The auctioneer asked for an opening bid. The room was silent. "Who will open the bidding with $100?" he asked. Minutes passed. No one spoke. From the back of the room came, "Who cares about that painting? It's just a picture of his son. Let's forget it and get to the good stuff." "Now we have to sell, we have to sell this one first," replied the auctioneer. "Now who will take his son?" Finally, a friend of the old man spoke up. Will you take $10 for the painting? That's all I have. I knew the boy, and I'd love to have it." "I have $10. Will anyone go higher?" called the auctioneer. After more silence, the auctioneer said, "Going once, going twice, sold for $10. The gavel fell. Cheers filled the room. And someone exclaimed, "Finally, now we can get on with it and bid on the real treasures." But then the auctioneer looked at the audience, closed his book, and said, "Thank you for coming. The auction is now over." "What do you mean it's over? We didn't come here for a picture of some old guy's son. What about all his real paintings? There are millions of dollars of art here. I demand that you explain what's going on," someone yelled. The auctioneer replied, It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever cared enough to buy the painting of the Son gets everything." Now, I don't know if this story is true. Sometimes as pastors, you get these illustrations and they put them off as true stories. But whether it's true or not, I love this story because it's true for us. It's true for each of us here. When we accept Jesus, when we accept the Son, we get it all. We get all that He has, His hope, His peace, His love, His joy. We get it all. We get everything. True peace is found in Jesus. And as we accept Him, and as we allow His Holy Spirit to come move in our lives, we experience His peace. Our world may crumble around us. Things around us may be falling apart. Hurt and pain may invade the walls of our lives. But through the power of the Holy Spirit and what Jesus did through the story of Christmas, we have the ability to experience His peace in the midst of it all. We have the ability to experience peace on earth. Amen? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for this opportunity to gather as Your church, Lord. And as we approach or encroach upon Christmas, Lord, this season of celebration, Lord, we want to remember the peace that You have brought to each of us that will receive it, Lord. A peace that passes all understanding. A peace that cannot be explained by the world around us. A peace that can only be given to us by You. To those whom Your favor rests, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I want to be someone who Your favor rests upon. And I pray that for each of us here, Lord, that we would come to know You, to seek to follow You and live the life that You've called us to live, to be able to walk in Your peace, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us and all the blessings that you pour out upon us. And the reality that when we say yes to the Son, we get it all of you. And Lord, we thank you for that. And so, Lord, we give you this Christmas season. There are so many things that can take our focus during this holiday season, Lord. There are so many things that we can make the center of this time. But I pray, Lord, that first and foremost we make you the center. That we understand that it's all about you. And that when we accept you and do our best to live our lives for you, that then we can experience the hope. We can experience the peace. We can experience the joy. We can experience the love because of who you are. And so we thank you for these things, Lord. We thank you for your word. And I just pray for each of us here, Lord. We're all in different places on this walk of learning what it means to follow you, or even wondering, do we want to follow you? And Lord, I just pray that you would meet each of us where we're at, as you always do, Lord. That you would allow this word to fall where it may in each of our lives, Lord. What is it you want to speak to us today, Lord? What are those things you want us to grab hold of as we think about peace, as we think about Christmas, as we think about you? We thank you for these things, Lord. We just give them to you. And we pray, Lord, that your will be done in our lives, because it's in your will that we experience your peace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.